I'm with Eddie Caffrey, Heady Eddie of, well, every station in the Northeast, basically, back in its day. But you're going to tell me some stuff about Rainbow Radio, is it?
That's it. Yeah, Radio Rainbow International. I had a few Scottish friends. Actually, some of them I met here today. And they were running shortwave stations on a Sunday. I kind of got listening to it and into it and as a hobby. And I remember with some of the guys on Boyneside at the time, Kieran Murray, and there was a guy called Jim Agnew. And we said, I built a transmitter and put it on shortwave. I hadn't a clue. I built this transmitter and began broadcasting on a Sunday and just give out the actual reception, looking for reception reports and letters. And by the following Wednesday, I was living in Bettystown, County Meath at the time, before my own house was being built. We never actually got much post because I was only living temporary there. I remember Wednesday morning, I saw the post box opening a letterbox in the hall. I said, flop, 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 flop. All the letters, what the hell is all this? All the reception reports. I didn't realise because I set up the transmitter and drove around, and after about a mile over the road, it disappeared. Stop, actually, that's going nowhere.
No ground wave.
No ground wave. It was going all going to the sky. So we actually, so in the mid-80s, by about 84, 85, when I moved to my own house, which I'm living in now, I did run a long wire, a T-aerial across from the actual chimney to an ESB pole. And I built quite a powerful transmitter at the time, Radio Rainbow International, quite loud modulation on it as well. We used to get complaints from other users. We were all over that. We were just taking up so much bandwidth. But reception reports came from all over the place. Kieran Murray used to do an anorak kind of an hour, similar to the free radio show he did on Big D and Radio.
He did an FRC, yeah.
Yes, he did more or less a similar thing. We brought back that. And Jim, I used to just play requests and all that and answer all the reception reports. We just ran from about 10 o'clock on Sunday morning until about 2 in the afternoon.
But you would have been doing radio Monday to Friday, so this was Sunday morning. This was purely for the anorak, was it?
Just an anorak thing. It was just something to do. And when I saw all those letters coming originally, I couldn't believe it. It was like starting all over again in the early days, you know, when we used to get letters and phone calls from the first time. This was about, I'd say, 84, 85. And we ran it right up until the end of 88. And then I was relaying a station called Fax Radio for a guy in the UK, and he devised a transmitter that would change from AM at night to shortwave during the day automatically, and it was an RCA ET. It was a work of art.
Were you the original transmission of fax then?
I used to transmit it for him, yeah. But he would send over the programs. They were on tape. Yeah. From the UK.
Oh, so you were the I used to listen to fax.
Yeah, and I used to operate the transmitter for him. And he had an AM, he had an AM and an FM on the one antenna, which I had in my garden. But the funny thing about it was, I remember one Sunday, I was operating Radio Rainbow as well from the same site. I lived out in the country, just a wee bit, maybe 100 yards away. And the propagation one Sunday was so strange that he was in London, and Radio Rainbow would fade in. And his would fade out. He couldn't figure out why the different types, it must be the different types of aerials we're using, conditions were more favourable for one. One minute, next thing, one would fade in, the other would fade out. He said he'd never seen anything like it before. Like, usually everything would fade in or fade out.
So it was 49 metre?
49 metre band. I think fax was 6 to 10 kilohertz, and then it was on way up at the end of the medium wave band, around 1600 of... in around 1605 or something, and it would change. He had a timer that would actually change and operate the medium wave oscillator and change over automatically. A work of art. It was genius. It was an RCA ET transmitter that he had renovated. I built my own, and my own was more powerful, you know. My own that was in 6240 kilohertz. It was good fun, good days.
Is it good to do it for the fun and get paid as well?
Yes, I used to get paid, and at one stage we were relaying a radio station for a guy in the UK, because I had the AM site as well, and we operated a radio station, Sovereign Radio, Radio Sovereign Gold, Solid Gold Radio Sovereign, for a guy called, I think it was Howard, Crispian St. John, I think was his name, he was Howard somebody, and he paid me for that for quite a while till the money ran out. You know, he was trying to sell advertising, trying to get into Liverpool. It didn't get into Liverpool quite as good as Boyneside Radio. I was just about audible, you know, and it was on shortwave as well.
I bought on eBay about 2 weeks ago a Boyneside QSL from 1983 from Sweden.
Yes, oh, we'd loads of you bought them.
I bought it for about €5.
I could have brought quite a lot with me today. I still have a few of them.
I don't want blanks though. This, I want them as they went out. You guys wrote out the QSL card, sent it to the guy in Sweden, and it's a little bit of history.
Yeah, well, Ian Bigger actually, who was here today, he actually sent me a copy of them there. He sent me a copy of one of the ones I had sent to him. I still have it, you know, and I remember I wrote thank you for, I spelled reception wrong. There was an I in a reception.
And you're still on LMFM?
Still on LMFM, yeah.
What keeps you going after all those years?
I don't know. I still have the bug. I still go into every day 3:30 to 5:30. I still sit down and, yeah, I still have that bug, you know, I still radio, you know, and to a certain extent, I have a lot of my own freedom because of my age and who I am and all that. You know, some of the other guys wouldn't have as much freedom as I would have. You know, I would say, I don't want to play that song. And they'd say, right, you know, because you are who you are. You know,
it's a good crew they have there now. Like, you've got Cathal Dervin on the lunch, right. Is it? And yeah. And actually, you've got to finish on this. I know it's not about pirate radio, but when the water thing happened there at the start of the year, the big problems, yes. Local radio really comes into its own.
Oh,
when
it did, actually. And even going back, even the pirate radio, I remember it was at the end of 1981, there was a massive snowstorm. And people were stuck in their cars and everything. No mobile phones back then, you know, and like no electricity, a lot of them. And all they had was radios. And it was a great way of keeping communications because somebody could go into somebody's house and say, I'm Joe, I'm stuck in a snowdrift, but I'm okay. You know, it was great.
Brilliant. I'm going to stop it there, but thank you very much, Eddie Caffrey.
Okay, Brian, thank you. We've got it, the great sound. Bubbling Boyneside Radio, in touch with you.